Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're with us. Today our devotion is called Sea Worms Are Beautiful. So much of God's creation is so beautiful. Our verse is Job 38:16. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Doubtless, Job had little idea of the implications of the question God was asking him. He could not know about the strange and interesting creatures in those depths. Among those creatures are the worms, ranging from 90-foot ribbons to plumed beauties. These ocean inhabitants represent a sampling of the wide variety of underwater creatures. Flatworms are carnivorous, leaf-shaped, and often brilliantly colored. Their color, however, is not dependent on the species, but on their last meal. The intestine, covered only with a thin tissue, branches out to all corners of the body. If a flatworm has eaten purple sea squirts, its normally gray body is purple for as long as it maintains that diet. One that eats orange sea squirts is orange. Another that feeds on mussel eggs takes on a pink coloration. Ribbon worms are unique in that they can shoot out long proboscises to wound and capture prey. Feeding mostly on other types of worms, a ribbon worm actually wraps its proboscis around and around the body of its food source. If a worm is cut into pieces, it can regenerate a new worm. As long as it has a piece of its body, has a fraction of nerve cord, and is twice as long as it is wide. The head of the feather duster worm resembles a flower or clusters of feathers. Living in a self-made tube of hardened mussel and sand, this worm extends its head out to feed. The plumes are actually tentacles that wave about to create a current moving toward the creature. In the current are tiny organisms that are swept into the worm's mouth. The feather duster's tentacles are light sensitive so that when it senses a sudden shadow, it quickly pulls into its tube. If necessary, it will snap off its head to escape an enemy. It can grow a new head within a short time. The abundance and variety of life found in the seas are such that no one person in several lifetimes could study and understand it all. God's challenge to Job is for us also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to explore your nature. We thank you that we can talk about you over the airwaves. We ask that you be with each family and person within our hearing. Thank you again, Lord. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. We're going to have so much fun today in our arts and crafts. First of all, I put a wonderful video about sea worms on my Pinterest site. That's MR Gamblin 2. I also put there how to make an earthworm habitat. I just strongly recommend this because it's easy to do. And when you're done with it, you can just throw it back in the garden and your kids have learned so much about what a habitat is, what they need for a habitat. And then don't forget to get out your clay. You can make lots of earthworms, sea worms, all kinds of worms in clay or in Play-Doh. And they can be all different colors. And then the kids can identify and say which worm they were actually making. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. All week we've been working on our classroom management strategies, so to speak, if you are homeschooling, if you are a parent, some of the things that we learn in how to manage large groups of children in a classroom also work well in a family. So let's talk about the number one thing, in addition to giving love and affection to your children, loving your spouse and being respectful to your spouse really helps that child. So as you're going through, you know, what you're going to do to help, maybe you've done some wrong things, but now you want to change things around. Well, here we begin. Number one, love and affection. For you, your children, you know, love yourself, for your children and for your spouse and the other adults in their lives. Number two, stress management. You have to manage your own stress, and it can be stressful homeschooling. You have to manage it. And, you know, pray a lot, do breathing exercises, give yourself time out, whatever it takes to help you manage your stress. And then use your relationship skills with your spouse. Model to your children how to communicate well with your spouse. These are all really good skills that if you master, then it sets the foundation for everything you do with your child or children in that homeschooling experience. Questions parents ask. So this mom's crying out for help. She has a 10-year-old and her youngest, she has four children and her youngest is still a toddler. But the problem is the learning disabilities. Two to three of her children have learning disabilities like dyslexia. Well, one is a leukemia survivor and has a low IQ, processing delays, and severe ADHD. Now, the psychologist is trying to help her by giving her some advice, but I can see the angst, and, you know, it's all right if you don't homeschool them all. It's okay. I know that I don't hesitate if I think a family needs to get additional help. Get additional help. If I can't give them additional help virtually, or they can come and talk to me, and they want to make sure their children get the best education. A lot of the special ed things of public school are very good. You know, Christian teachers, people who have a heart for helping these students, and they're very well trained and they are qualified. Even if you just had your children there for a small amount of time, they could get IEPs, they could get some support that then could continue on if you chose to homeschool them. So yes, we're not going to think badly of you or be critical of you if that's what you should choose to do. Karen says, I'm about to have a newborn in 11 weeks. I currently homeschool a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I don't want to stop, but I'm so stressed out. And we just talked about in our curriculum corner the parenting strategy of not getting stressed out. So we can say, don't be stressed out. But of course, right now, it's stressful having a child. Anyway, your hormones are preparing for this big event of giving childbirth. So that has a natural stress that comes with it. I just think that you need to take one day at a time. When a new baby comes, or if there's a death in the family, moms need to relax. And a 6 and a 3-year-old learn a lot in their play. In fact, we recommend that their play be their school. So you can just relax a little bit and don't be stressed out. Well, you know, I always end the questions parents ask with kind of, you can take it for whatever it's worth. It is just my opinion. Everything in this show is my opinion. We have no affiliates and we like it that way. So remember, contact me if you're homeschooling a high schooler at myhomeschoolcompanion@gmail.com, and we'll see how we can support them with a few online classes here and there. And please come back. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com. Here's Dr. Rose Gamblin with a Mind Matter Minute.
As a teacher, when I first learned of Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligence, I tried to adapt all my lesson plans to include all 8 of the intelligence: linguistic, mathematical, spatial, musical, kinesthetic, naturalistic, interpersonal, intrapersonal. I really worked hard for a few weeks trying to make sure that every lesson was presented in all 8 of the intelligences. I so loved the idea that every child could be valued for their intelligence. But after an exhaustive 2 weeks, the class and I decided that we didn't need to do all of the 8 intelligence for every lesson. We could just do some. Boy, was our mind happy that we'd settled that matter.
Mind Matter Minute is brought to you by MRG Media Ministry. For more information on topics about learning, go to mrgmediaministry.com. That's mrgmediaministry.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin. And I come to you each week through the programs of Homeschool Companion. And I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry. And I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support. So take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you. So be sure you call. And my gifts consist of some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome, welcome. I am here with Erica, and I hope I pronounced the last name Wiggenhorn. Erica Wiggenhorn. She is the founder of Every Life Ministries. The point of this ministry is to bring the truths of the scripture to help transform you and me. So with her book, An Unexpected Revival, and it's your 5th release from Moody Publishers, she also serves on the writing team for Proverbs 31 Ministries and for their teaching app. So all of this is new to me. It sounds fantastic. She teaches in various local and national venues, serves on the women's ministry leadership team for her church. She's also taught women at Arizona State Prison System and overseas. So she just loves people, and we're so happy to have you here. You can go to her website, ericawiggenhorn.com, and it's spelled ericawiggenhorn.com. And you can look at it right now as we're talking even. So Erica, let's start at the beginning on a personal level. How did your upbringing bring you to this point? In other words, can you look back in your childhood and see how God was leading you and steering you and nurturing you from the very beginning?
Yeah, great question. So this is so fun for me because I was a teacher by profession before God blessed us with a family. So I feel right at home here talking with all of you today. I would say, you know, God doesn't ever waste anything, right? And now that I am traveling around and I have just the unspeakable privilege of being able to open God's Word and teach and share God's Word and write Bible studies where I'm teaching people verse by verse through the pages of Scripture. And obviously, spending all of those years in a classroom teaching, studying how people learn and how they retain information and process information and learn second languages, all of that God has really used to prepare me for what I'm doing now. I honestly had absolutely no idea I would ever be doing this. I never had this great big desire to become a writer or a teacher. It was sort of God just taking me down that path. But He definitely used my background of wanting to be a teacher and wanting to learn how to teach well, and so many years of experience while my husband went through medical school, I was teaching and working. So, yeah.
And did you have children of your own?
We did. The Lord blessed us through His bounty, not through biology. So we were married 11 years before we adopted our first little girl from birth. She's actually going off to college this week. We're moving her into her dorm later this week. And then 2 years later, we adopted our son, who is a junior in high school.
Praise God. And with the adoption comes challenges and things that that are different than birth, you know. But God, I know that they will feel blessed. You know, they don't always feel blessed. And when they're little, they don't even know what a blessing that you've been able to take and become their parents. But that's a wonderful blessing. So, and when you look at the Bible lessons that you have developed, I'm sure often that theme of God's adoption of us, you can relate to it because your heart to those children is, you know, they're your children. They're your, absolutely, they're your children. Well, we want to talk today about the unexpected revival, and Ezekiel is one of the probably the least studied books. In fact, I think of all the Bible stories, you know, for children and stuff, there's hardly, I don't know of one Bible story for a child that's based on Ezekiel.
Probably not. I don't know that many Sunday school teachers are going to want to take a bunch of skeletons and, you know, put them together in front of a bunch of little children. That might not go over well with the parents. I don't know.
So how did you come to do Ezekiel?
God really first led me to the book of Ezekiel during a really dark season of my life. And I think for most of us, we can understand that, right? When we go through a really deeply difficult season, we're going to choose one of two things. We're either going to push God away and run away from Him, or we're going to press into Him, trying to get answers and have Him help make sense of what we're going through. And so I really began to press into God, and I just prayed and said, Lord, I feel like every Bible study I'm opening and doing is all about selling Jesus, right? If I check off all the boxes and I do everything right, then you're supposed to bless me. And I feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in Bible study. I'm going to church. I'm serving at church. I'm trying to be a good wife and a good mom. And yet life is falling apart and I don't understand. And it was a real crisis of faith moment for me. And I didn't know if I felt that way about Bible study because I was in a dark place. And so therefore I just was seeing everything darkly, or there was some merit to it. But I continued to cry out to God, and I said, does it grieve your heart that your people do not just want to know you, but only seem to want something from you? They want your blessings. Mm-hmm. And I sensed the Lord say to me in my heart, study the book of Ezekiel. I don't know about you, Rose, but I don't have a lot of those moments from God where I feel like He's laying something on my heart. so specific like that. So he didn't really pay attention, I'll be honest. I was not like Abraham. I did not get up the next morning and go. I sort of just brushed it off. But God, as he often does, won't let things go. And he continued to just bring before me Ezekiel, to the point that I'm in a grocery store with our son, who throws a whopping temper tantrum in the shopping cart. We run into the end cap of the aisle, and a dozen loaves of Ezekiel bread fall all over me. So finally, I was like, okay, I keep hearing Ezekiel. I'm going to go home. I'm going to open up this book. And I opened up my study Bible. And this very first sentence jumped off the page at me because it said, God's heart was grieved because his people only wanted his blessings, but they didn't want him. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I wasn't imagining things. God really did say, open up this book and study it. And so I began to. And as I really dove into the book, I saw such a beautiful picture of God's love and his desire for closeness with his people. And I realized that what God was showing me in my darkness was that he would always be present with me no matter what, and that he was always the way to light because he is light.
Yeah, I suppose those of us that are listening to this, you know, maybe you're thinking of the song, you know, Ezekiel and the dry bones, and the one bone connects to the, you know, the foot bone connects to the ankle bone connects to the shin bone.
Yep.
Now hear the word of the Lord. But that might be going through your mind, but there is a phrase over 50 times that is repeated. And I wondered if you'd share that with us.
Yeah, I think maybe this was really a big deal to God that we understood this, Rose, because he said it 50 times across 48 chapters. But what he says is, then you will know that I am the Lord. And, you know, I'm a mom of two teenagers. I told you that earlier in the interview, Rose. And so when I first read that, I heard it in my teenage mom of teenagers tone, right? Like, yes, then you're going to know who mama is, you know, if you don't get your act together kind of thing. That was the initial tone that I took it as when I read it. But as I really dove deeply into the book, I realized I was completely missing the heartbeat of God. And his actual tone was, then you will know. And that word that he uses to know is yada. It's the Hebrew word yada, and it is a picture of complete and total intimacy. It's the word that they used when a husband would first know his wife on their wedding night. Nothing hidden between them, total oneness. And God was saying to his people, then you will know. You won't just know me intellectually or conceptually. Mm-hmm. You'll actually know me experientially. You'll know me intimately in a deep and abiding relationship. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And that's all capital L-O-R-D, meaning Yahweh, meaning the God who creates and enters into relationship.
We have come to the end of part one of our interview with Erica. We've been talking with Erica Wiggenhorn, and you can go to the website ericawiggenhorn.com. Hope you come back tomorrow for the second part. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.